So good evening, everyone. It's 6:38 on August 1st, 2012. And as the moderator chair, I am now running the August 2012 rapid meeting to order. First on our agenda is the comment period. Is there anyone tonight that wants to address the rap? Sure, please stand. Please come to the table here to the right. And speak into the microphone if you just happen, or red light should come on, say no light is working.
Okay, my name is Yvonne T. Smith. And I live in Washington, D.C., in Washington Heights. And I understand that the advisory council does not have any real power, but they make recommendations to board. And I would be, I came to talk about the availability of smart trip cards where I live. The primary place where people buy smart trip cards and have them loaded is the Intercity Metro Station, which is only open from 4:30 Monday to Friday. That area, some of you might know, is east of the river. And there's a large number of people who, like myself, rely on public transportation for everything, for shopping, going to work, doctors, et cetera. To not have an office that's open, so that people can load up, particularly bus passes for seniors and disabled people, you know, it really limits and makes for a surcharge. I'm very happy that Metro has gone through the process of letting you load four smart trip cards on the smart trip, but it would be more beneficial to be five because people on fixed incomes and they receive subsidies could buy their fares for a month in advance. And also that the Anacostia Metro Station had at least one night where they were open and some few hours on the weekend where people can go and load their smart trip cards up. And so that's the basis of my comment. Going to the five routes instead of four cut down on a lot of possibility of bus drivers because I live in an area where a lot of people may run out of funds or whatever at the end of the month. So people are allowed to buy their passes and have the availability to load the bus passes and will make it much better. There's also, there was a promise when Metro came out and did their various focus groups that the M8, M9 bus would be expanded to a W3 bus that would go up to Alabama and Yellow Road, turn around to the Army. That, I haven't heard anything about it, although they did numerous focus groups in our community about that, and that area is expanding with a lot of shopping. So those are my comments that I would like you to relay to the board that they make so that people east of the river have more access to load their smart trucks. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Can you just say that when you have one of our members and follow-up question for you?
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of things. Interesting that you bring that up because that was something that my committee's been interested in, making sure the smart trip cards are going to be more available to individuals. I think it's in September that they're going to be starting the auto load feature on the cards so that when you're using the bus or rail, that the cards will automatically load. And that's a feature that's supposed to start in September without having to go to an admin machine. But I also understand that we just learned that there's 106 CVS locations that have the admin machines that have been added recently. And I don't know where these CVS stores are, but it would be interesting to maybe find that out, John. I think we wanted to find it out from my committee because it's something we're interested in also. And then secondly,
the problem is that a lot of people in that town, they very rather rely on the bus.
Okay.
Because of cost. And so when you go to the CVS, or for example, one of the locations is the giant on Alabama Avenue, that would mean that you use your pass, that you have to use transportation maybe once or twice, and with the dollar surcharge, it's not feasible. what needs to happen is that the Anacostia Metro Station, which is a major feeder and transfer point, needs to have at least one night a week where they're open late and a weekend night. Because many people do not use the rail at all. They come there and they use bus primarily because they would have to pay bus fare and a rail fare, even though they give a 50-cent discount. So unless the CVSs will be allowed to add on the bus passes, it would not really serve that local community very well.
Okay, and then I also have heard also the Giant, who has 8 stores and is supposed to get 42 more stores this summer, that is supposed to have their machines also.
Yeah, the answer machines will not help, because what happens is people need to be able to put the 7-day passes on the smart trip.
I understand what you're pushing, and not that, I think that will.
And I just want you to carry that on to the board.
Well, to imagine, let's say, for that anything, that we have made similar comments to the board in the past about the smart trip card and about the location, because if you are a bus rider, there are a lot of things across the city and in the Maryland and Virginia area where it's not that convenient to purchase one or to reload it. But this is a good reminder for us to check up on this issue and see where we're at with it. So James and then
Quick question. I come to that area very, very frequently, and I come to the Anacostia Metro Station very frequently. How late do you want that office where you can load up the car and get the gas? How late do you want it to stay open that one night?
I think it would be good if they had one night they would be open until 8 o'clock, because many people would be coming from Virginia or Maryland home, or even have extra hours early in the morning, so that people could go there and buy the load up. Or unless they can take the metro airfare machines, be able so that you could add bus fares on it. Now, many people there don't have internet access.
Thanks, James. We're going to go with one more follow-up to this comment, and then we need to keep on our agenda. I think Debbie or Ben, did you have a?
5 seconds.
Okay.
I just want you to know that you're not the first person to raise the hours in the Anacostia Station. That when Metro was doing the last round of public feedback, a lot of people at the Anacostia session that I went to had the exact same comment. And the best track from Metro was, yes, we'll look into that. But obviously, it's an issue because people
If you were at that one of the sections in the southeast, people would be highly offended that they would have to come all the way from near Maryland to come to Virginia to purchase a metro. I had first noticed that before they started loading the 4, I would go to the Pentagon City, and they would load 4 7-day passes on where the Anacostia was only 2. Now they know 4, but people will get highly offended after they come home from work that they would have to go back out. Most places that I go in the Northwest, it takes me 2 hours or more to get my bus to start.
Thank you.
Probably not.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else from the public that wants to address the Seeing none, I'm going to move on to agenda item 3, which is approval of the agenda. We actually have a slight change in the agenda to accommodate the amount of staff that are presenting to us tonight. We're going to move the Metro Outreach to Low Income Limited English Writers presentation up in front of agenda item 5, which is public participation at RAC meetings. So with that change, John, is that?
If you all wouldn't mind moving that up, just because staff has to catch a train, actually. So, Madam Chair, before we do that, I guess, I know we're going to talk about how we pay color to that on the nation. Can I ask then that if we do that, before we do that, that we allow color to that on the title?
Why don't, at the chair's discretion, why don't we do this? I want to make sure this is an initiative given to us by the GM, so I want to make sure that the staff has time to give the full presentation and RAC has time to ask questions. Depending on the feedback and how the conversation between RAC members go, if we back some extra time in the agenda, then certainly I'll take one or two questions from the public. But it really depends on they need their 40 minutes to get through the agenda. So I'm flexible. We'll see how it goes.
I just got it today, so.
So, moving on to the approval of past meetings.
Well, I'm sorry, could somebody make a motion to approve the agenda? Or did someone?
I thought Chris did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I might have been out of my seat. If you make changes, it just might be cleaner if you do.
Okay. All in favor of the agenda as changed by moving up agenda item 6 in front of agenda item 5? Any opposed?
Okay. So with that. Okay.
Okay. Agenda item 4, approval of past meeting minutes. We actually only have July.
And those were just put in your packet. If you all would like to defer to read through them more closely, I can still put them up on the website in draft form.
Okay.
So that people will know.
So we just received July today, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, we'll wait to vote on this.
Okay.
All right, so the next agenda item is Metro Outreach to Low Income Limiting with Riders. We welcome Ms. Bowercox and Ms. Miranda Sika for the next 30 minutes. And before they begin, let me actually remind everyone again, Outreach to Low Income Limited English Writers is one of the RAC 5 initiatives for this year. It's also one of the initiatives that the general manager has specifically asked for.
Title VI is for the Civil Rights Act, 1964. And if I use any acronyms, please tell me. I'm just a rocket student. Who goes to the next one? The EJ Title VI populations include minorities, low-income, and persons with limited English proficiency. And the new circular indicates that we must, poison our communities, and at every stage of our process, we need to engage in public outreach. So for all of our projects, whether it's a service change, or a fare increase, or some change to our fare media, or a construction project, at every stage that we're looking at those projects, we need to engage the public, get input and feedback. That's basically what the new circular said. I wanted to tell you next a little bit about our service area, your community. In our service area, this is for the 2010 census, 58% of our area's population is minority. And if you look at the ethnic breakdown, 30% is African American, 15% Hispanic, 11% Asian Pacific Islanders. While we're very diverse in terms of race and ethnicity in our area, you find that only 8% of our total population live below the poverty level. That's what our residents look like. One of the things that we look at when we're doing our Title VI analysis is we're looking at service changes to particular areas or service changes or fare increases that impact all of our riders. We look at our system-wide demographics. So this information we get from our customer surveys primarily. And here we see that overall, when we look at our ridership, 62% is minority and 20% is low income. So it gives us a little bit different picture than just who are our residents, this is who are our riders.
What are MACs?
Metro Access Service.
Okay.
Yes. Let me see if there's anything else I left in. Let's go to the next one. And here you are, I'm just telling you a little bit about the EJ Title VI population. When we look at our limited English proficient population in the Washington region, 24% are foreign-born. And 27% of our region say, when I'm at home, I don't speak English, I speak another language. And of those, 6% speak English by what the census defined as less than well. So that means you don't speak English very well at all. If you look at some of our jurisdictions, they have LEP, or limited English proficient populations, that exceed 5%. So here we're talking about Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax County, Fairfax City, and Montgomery County. Have LEP populations that exceed 5%. And of the languages that are spoken, Spanish, of course, is the most prevalent. 50% of those who are limited English proficient, followed by Chinese, and it's a big drop. That's down to 70%, along with Korean. And then, as you can see, the other languages, Vietnamese, African languages, French, Farsi or Persian, and there's about 27 different languages that are spoken in this region that have at least, according to the census, 1,000 speakers. Okay, so the second step in this new EJ circular talks about public engagement. Why did we do public engagement? The next one is that we want to identify the needs of our Title VI and EJ populations and be able to set priorities. And when we're doing a project, we have to identify what the benefits and burdens are to those populations and are there any mitigating measures that we can implement. And there's a whole section in this new EJ circular that's devoted to public engagement. And it really talks about know, when you get to know a community, or a project, we need to know where they work, where they're at, where they're recreating, the languages they speak at home, how they get their information. We need to engage in both traditional and non-traditional outreach to get to these populations. And we recently started an initiative, we had two meetings. There's a cross-company group, I would call it a steering committee, because we're small right now, trying to determine or craft the way that we're going to go about preparing this public participation plan. We anticipate it's probably a 12 to 18 month initiative. You know, we want to do it, and we want to do it right. So we started with our first two meetings, just kind of going to some benchmarking, looking at what other organizations have been doing. And we found one that we were so excited about, we really fell in love with, and that's the BART participation plan. BART went through a very extensive process to develop their public participation plan. Pretty good. I included the URL in case you want to look at it. It was certainly the most comprehensive plan that we saw. There's a plan, and then there's also another manual there about how they prepare the plan or process. But just in short, to develop this plan, they held initially 22 community meetings throughout their service area. And then after they did that, they drafted a plan. They took that plan and sent it out to comment those to people that attended that meeting and to other organizations. And once they got the comments, they went back, they had 7 more meetings, including a meeting with their board of directors. They also got pretty deep into the limited English proficient community. So we held 19 meetings with them. And they covered all the languages that were prevalent in that area. They also did a public participation survey. They got like over 1,300 responses and focus groups. So it was a very extensive process for them to do their public participation plan. So, you know, if you just go through that plan, you'll see that for every population, they identified how their population wanted to be addressed in the public involvement process. And so some of the findings are things like, well, you know, if you want to meet them, you need to go where they are. You'll find that some limited English proficient person say, I want translator materials. Others say, I don't want translator materials. I want an interpreter. There's really a strong preference for weekend meetings. People ask for free or accessible transportation to go to meetings. In terms of getting information, they like doing things like when you get on the train, put the information on the seat, I'm going to have to pick it up. So seat drops, or have the information at the turnstiles, or ads on the train. Many people, if you're going to do an evening meeting, they really wanted child care or refreshments, or refreshments. Most didn't use the internet. They prefer TV or they prefer flyers. Allowing them to receive text messages, but many of them did not have smartphones, so they didn't have internet service. And they preferred to, they thought they would be able to get information from other organizations, like attended associations or organizations to serve youth or seniors or recreation. But really, their plan enables you to tailor your strategy to the population and to the population's preferences. And I have a handout. I wanted to show you how extensive the information they got back from their process. This will be your flip.
Thank you.
Can you get this handout online?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The URL is included in the presentation.
So do we have the second part of the presentation, or is there...
Oh, no, I just want to talk to this piece of paper. Okay? And then we'll get that. Okay, now, if you look at this, this is really cool. This is kind of like the summary of their public participation plan in many regards. Because on the leftmost side, you see the different populations identified. Low-income, minority, then the ethnic breakdown, then limited English proficient, and then the various, whether it's Spanish-speaking, Korean-speaking, Russian-speaking, etc. And then, if you go across the top row, you'll see printed materials, website, social networking, postcards and letters, email, media, targeted ethnic communities, partnerships with CBOs, coordination, the board of directors, community meetings, etc. So for each population, based on the information they received from the meetings, the focus groups, the surveys, it identified whether that particular method was preferred by that population, not preferred, or there really wasn't a strong preference for it, maybe not even discussed. So, this is where we want to be. We want to be able to say, we look at our community that's going to be impacted, and maybe one of our service changes, join our community, one of the demographics, we'll know what their public participation preferences might be, we'll know the organizations, CBOs, others that we can partner with in those areas, and really be able to reach the populations and get their participation. So that's where we're headed with our team. Like I said, we've only had a couple of meetings, so we're still in the data gathering phase. In fact, we're trying to put together, many of us have listservs that we send information to. We're trying to put that all together into one document, and we're going to map it and talk about things like our internal resources. But it's really in the infancy stages of development.
Thanks. So we've got 25 minutes left for the second part of the presentation and questions.
My question will be very brief. Good evening, everyone. My name is Linda Marzox. I'm the Assistant General Manager, Customer Service Communications Marketing. Today is my second month anniversary in this position. So I'm pleased to be with you. Thank you. Pleased to be with you on this auspicious occasion. We really appreciate the opportunity to give the Writers Advisory Council input into this process. As Deborah said, we're the beginning of our new public participation plan, so the timing is quite good in terms of your ability to influence how Lamonto does its outreach in various communities. The latter part, I just wanted to make sure you're aware that this is an ongoing and evolving process. The FTA circular, while that updates what's required, Metro's been very much doing outreach in these communities for a long period of time and has been already in the process of accelerating that outreach. We do, in addition to focus groups and surveys both online and in writing, we do a lot of information and publication in these communities because in addition to getting customer input into what we're doing, we need these communities to understand that we are present in those communities, that we're an institution that wants to be part of the community, that folks feel like they can engage with us, and this is hard to do in certain communities. Just examples, I don't have these on PowerPoint, so I'm going to hand them out. You may or may not be familiar with example at Elon. This is one of the papers. There's several of the other ones in Spanish. In this instance, it was the Rush Press Service edition. In this instance, it's about freehand tracker on the rail system. You'll see this very often. You'll see us doing advertisements for the Smart Trip program, which was discussed earlier. This is English and Spanish. You'll see this in our lessons. In the Korean community, because I don't speak either Korean or Chinese, I get the echo and the Korean times confused. So I think you're right, this is the Korean times. And you'll see this is an advertisement about fare changes in Metro. This one is about the rush bus service. This one is about weekend traveler. And then in the Cantonese, it's the predominant language here in the Chinese community, although we do some in Mandarin. In the Epic Times, you'll see us advertising the new bus service changes, as well as, again, an example of what we did around the fare changes. Actually, this one is the Korean Times. And then, that's Epic Times, okay. And then this one is weekend traveler. So these are just a few examples. I want you to see when you try to deliver information about what's going on with operations, both us and around in the communities, that we try to have press and use newspapers. We've been apportioning a larger segment of our marketing spend in the communities so that we're trying to get this information out where people can see it. These newspapers and community weeklies are increasingly more popular way to people get information versus just the Washington Post. And so we think it's important to be there. And we think once people see that, the Metro becomes a more part of that community in the way that many of the retail establishments and so with that, I just wanted to ask the general managers very briefly to take up the opportunity with us of trying to figure out how to do more outreach. We've partnered with community organizations to reach out, and that's often very helpful. We've done that around certain Spanish-speaking communities. It's been very helpful to have local priests, for example, who will convene meetings, to have church members come in and talk with us. In some ways, the faith-based community sort of endorses our legitimacy in the community, and they bring people to the table. And again, that's a great way for people to get engaged with Metro. We also have had some success with service-providing organizations and reaching out to low-income people. Offices that provide other services that often deliver information and engage people in a way to meet with us. So we welcome your suggestions about what kind of community organizations we can partner with and what other channels we can use to reach people. As Deborah said, we have a great website for people who speak any language, but that's not the answer for everyone. And often there needs to be an in-person dialogue to really get a sense of what the community needs to do with this transit. So we look forward to your input and to your suggestions about how we can better serve these communities, how we can reach out, what methods, tools we can use. I know that Deborah's very open to that as part of her work to build this public participation plan. And so anything that the RAP can do to guide us through the board, of course, as we put this together, is much welcome. And we'll take your questions.
Great. So thank you both for that presentation. We have about 17 minutes left with this agenda item. To get a feel for how many people have questions, I'd like for all RAP members to raise your name card so I can tell if you're interested. And also, can members of the public please raise their hand at the time if they think they have a comment about this topic? Okay. Seeing one, in an effort to go by the proposed motion on public participation or packets, oh, we've got two comments. Okay, two public comments. I'm actually going to go ahead and let the members of the public go first. We're trying out something different here. We're going to vote on this poll actually in a few minutes. And so I'd like for the two members to take 1 minute each, please, with your comments or your questions. So that way we can get back to the discussion for the RAC members to ask what they need to ask. So who would like to go first from the public, Ms. Smith, or no?
My name is Leslie Henderson. I live in Prince George County.
I'm sorry. Can you come up to the table, announce your name, and if you're representing the organization, be sure to state that as well. And turn the microphone on. Thank you.
And please feel free to pull up a chair if you'd be more comfortable.
Well, my name's Leslie Anderson, I just moved to Prince George County, and I'm actually part of PRISM. It's an organization based out of Southern and Central Maryland. And actually, a few of us are coming together to work on advocating for the bus. And I was actually mentioning, tying this into WMATA, regarding services in Prince George County, because a lot of the bus routes around Prince George County stops, especially on weekends. Like, for example, one time I was at Southern Avenue, and the bus stopped at, I want to say 7:20, and a lot of folks were scrambling, calling people to pick them up or take taxis. And I want to know, what is your, like, what is your outreach plan with that? It seems like a lot of people have no idea that the bus stops running so early. And do you plan to have meetings in libraries or recreation centers?
So, I can't speak to that, to a one particular group. But what I will say is that when we contemplate bus service changes in any community, we do hold public meetings very often in schools to make them very locally accessible. They're always transit accessible. Sometimes they're in libraries, and sometimes they're in government buildings. And so, when we're going to make a change, we invite the public in to review our plan to make those changes and to comment on and let us know if they think the impact is to ridership, if it's positive or if it's an adverse impact. And so if you let us know which routes in particular you're interested in, we can talk to the bus service planning staff and get back to you and let you know if there are any public meetings planned in the community along that track.
Okay, thank you. And we have one more public comment. Please go ahead.
Yes. Although low income persons only make up 8% of the total ridership of Metro, I live in an area where it's disproportionately poor. And we have poor turnout at your one-mile meetings. Poor working people, when they get on the bus, they get on the way home, they don't go to another meeting. But if you want to have people to come out to your meetings, if you're really interested, what you can do is do what you say you want to do, go where they are. So when there are festivals, that you would do on those things. We had two big festivals in Ward 8 on Saturday. I never saw anyone there from the market. You would go to the high school. Children tell their parents what's going on. I would go to the senior center. Seniors have the ear of everybody in their clan. You more efficiently use your time by doing that. And even though many people don't have internet access, many people do, many people use a mobile telephone for next bus. Having a message on next bus, the mobile site, I can tell you we've had, people think we've had 3 increases in fare because of the allowance of the discount. You know, I'm telling you, those bus drivers have to put signs up each and every time saying the fare is such and such, because the word didn't get out to those people that the fare went up. So I would suggest those venues, festivals, going to high schools and middle schools, grocery stores. We don't all go to a church or a library. We all got to eat.
So we actually have about 12 minutes left now for the staff members to ask questions. I'm going to start with Joseph and then go around later.
I'm not bringing your hand, but I'm very happy about your position and happy that you're here. Let me start with the assistant general manager. The plan is not that I'm working on. Will you invite the RAC to be working on that plan? So there's going to be a meeting.
Yeah, so no, it's never outlined. This is an 18-month process. And so, I'll defer to the chair on this, but my understanding is if you you all will have a look through the chance to our board, and that will come back to the staff as far as.
So you envision that, that you kind of have, how would we have input about that, that we aren't involved in? And we need to.
Stand, this is why they're here today, so this is.
Will the RACO just stay in the meeting?
Exactly, that's.
That's my first question. Will you allow us to participate?
They are here today to set to explain to us, if I recall correctly, Don, what their plan of action is, and then they want the RAC to fill in or to give additional feedback on how we can assist them where they're trying to go and how we can be involved.
I got your question, my question, yeah. There is a steering committee.
There's a steering committee.
Will you invite the RAC to be on it? I guess that's the more, I guess that's the more RAC. I'm sorry, I'm being vague.
I think I understand the question. I think there was a discussion with the chair that had the board chair to determine whether or not, what form the participation should take.
Okay, all right, I think that, and then the last thing I want to say is, I think you guys do a great job of letting people know about the service. I think I've never heard anyone say, I've heard it tell me that I'm dealing with a training. I think you guys do fabulous at that. But I don't know if that actually engages with them. That definitely isn't right. That engagement involves two people. And so, following on, I think Ms. Smith, I think, had a great suggestion. I just want to give this to you, I want to, real quick. Getting people who look like this community, and come from this community, to go into this community, and convene those alternative placement meetings, I think would be great. And then also, I think the final, there are other ones, and I would send them to our chair, but I think also is having a presence in that community. So I think that one of the great things, for instance, that people say their elected officials show their legitimacy in that community is because their elected official is in that community. And so, if what Metro used to do is they used to have these team leadership meetings at Metro stations throughout the line. And people would get off the train, and all of the one of my management would be right there at their station. And if I want to talk to them, I can go there right then and talk to them. But I think being in their community and more present in their community on a regular basis is probably a better way to help earn that legitimacy that I think that deserves. And so I think those are like 1,000 more suggestions through Hubby. But I think more of a prominent presence of Metro in that community would probably be great.
Thanks, Joseph. We've got 8 minutes left, so if I was Candace, if you can keep it maybe a minute.
I just have a, I guess, a simple question. Based on what we've been saying, I guess, what's the ultimate goal of doing this type of research? Like, what? I guess that's where I want to see what's the end result of this thing.
So the end product will be public participation, but the goal is to have public involvement at every stage of our project that we develop, and that could be simply we're talking about. Or it could be at the time that we're considering changing fare media, or making an adjustment there.
So is this just to supplement what WMATA already does? I guess what you're trying to.
To enhance.
To enhance.
I would say to enhance.
Okay.
Thanks, Nick.
I just sort of want to suggest along similar line that I think it's good what you're doing, trying to reach out to the minority populations, but I think the issue is that Metro has a communication problem across the board, not just with these minority populations. And I just want to encourage you to reach out to everybody. And I think you'll have the results that you get will speak to what you're actually looking for, but I think you're going to have to get across the problem of Metro's public relations as they exist currently before you can get to that. That's going to be a challenge for you. An idea that I have is I love the festival, thank you very much. And especially for minority populations, there are minority festivals. The Mount Pleasant Street Festival, which ironically is not going to happen on Mount Pleasant Street this year, is one of those places where you can hit a lot of Spanish speakers in one place. where people come and they ride the buses. Obviously, you know, bus ridership is three-quarters of what you're looking for here. Have someone ride the bus and ride it consistently on the same route at the same time. You know, sometimes it takes a while for people to warm up to such a person, you know, with a big t-shirt that says Metro Ambassador on it. You know, often people on the bus, the only contact they have with Metro is with the driver, and the driver is busy driving. They don't have time to, you know, get feedback from someone. But if someone's next to you sitting on the bus, you have a captive audience that you can get feedback from. And certain bus lines go through minority areas that we all know pretty well, and you can find your census data as well. So that's one way to really get to people where they are.
Thank you. Very briefly, I'm interested in those limited English proficiency advertising outreach you do. Are they in subscription publications? And can you, if they are, is it just particularly hard to reach people who are who don't subscribe to those? You know, both limited English proficiency and low income overlap with you.
One of the things that we do on a regular and periodic basis, we also send email alerts for information, emails, and also written materials to a list of, oh, I'd say, about 150 organizations that serve the LAC community, low-income community, and vibrant community. Remember when I said we're getting that database together? That's part of that database. Do is once you gather all the data, we kind of just plot it up on the map so we can see where we might have gaps in the community organization, communities where maybe we're not getting through, or we're being through other job communities, where we find some of the resources.
Okay,
that is one of the things that we do.
I would just add that I wanted to take anybody to subscribe. I do agree with it, instead, it's really a true dialogue, that engagement. And so it's always hard to sort of measure kind of the impact your paid communications has in the community because, you know, it's that one-on-one communication. And so we really are trying to establish in every channel the opportunity for feedback. It's not always possible in every channel, but the hope is to establish the point that if you sort of beat those on a turn and you communicate across multiple channels that you give people the maximum amount of opportunity to give you information back or to let you know what they're needing.
Another thing we've done is that there have been projects, I think, trying to think of one reason, where we've actually been recording the different languages. And we said that alongside with the CD. Community organizations as well. And also we've done videos and we've dubbed them in other languages. So we've tried to use a broad communication approach to reach certain populations. That's one of the things that we also raise is literacy.
Two more comments. Carl, over here.
First, Ben, that was my comment, or one of my comments, which was that communication obviously is something that can be improved across the board. So as you're looking at, as you're developing, you know, plan, keep in mind that there's some improvement in other areas as well. So you're trying to make like this matrix for a lot of that kind of. What do the community organizations that you are already interacting to suggest? I mean, are you using them as a vehicle? So I assume you guys have contacts that you've been using already. Are they providing input on, you know, are you saying to the president of the nonprofit, you know, Latino Association or something, you know, what works best for your community?
Yeah, we are creating a public information plan. Yes, but we now have relationships with the community-based organizations currently. So yes, we've been out, we've talked with them, lot of the input that they've given us certainly has come where we are. And, you know, up to our events, our community or community events. And if we're having a health fair, we expect large numbers of people to be there, come and have a table. You know, if we're doing a street festival, please, we invite you to come to that. What would be the meetings for you? We recently did a big outreach at Sacred Park Church. So we went there on a Sunday and then we followed up with another event, the Bell Multicultural School on Saturday. And, you know, one thing I want to say is, you know, we're going to have like a 12-18 month edition, but we're going to be learning as we're doing, and we're going to be implementing as we're learning, and we're not going to wait until like the magic 18 months and everything is in black and white on a piece of paper before we implement some strategies that we think would be beneficial.
Sure. That's great. I mean, when I look at this list, I think every single one of them begins to be in the city to have success in some form. Obviously, it touches different populations, but and then this body is very regular providers that they want to form communication options and then they want feedback that they receive from people to provide that approach to meet something, to have something behind it.
One of the things you emphasize in the BARC plan is when communities provide feedback, they like to find out what happened. And I think a lot of times we don't close it. So we ask you for your feedback. Okay, well, you know, maybe you could do it, maybe you could do part of it, but you know.
We have our insurance on property on the line or in? Okay, I have more of a comment. Like I said, English is not my first language, so I can relate to a lot of what we're talking about. But I have several suggestions. For example, publications like El Tiempo Latino, great, it's a free available. But the thing is that it's not always available in our communities. It's nowhere, I cannot go get El Tiempo Latino until, unless I go to Boston or something, you know, it's not available in all communities. So.
Is that a more presence?
There is a large Hispanic community in South Arlington, where I live, but you actually have, at least in my case, I actually have to get out of my way to find one of those boxes, okay? I know there's where one is, but I would actually have to be planning to go there. It's not on my way to anything. So that's what I, so if I'm picking something that is a little bit more accessible. It's great that it's perfect that it's free publication, but it should be more accessible within the community.
Would you have
a suggestion
for us on
that
most accessible?
I would have to study that. Yeah,
we can help.
Okay. Then the other thing is one thing that you touched, and it's something that had nagged me, you know, back to head for quite a while. When we have all these fair hearings, you know, fair cases here, at least I'm not aware there's any hearing for the people that with limited English. They don't even bother going. Why? Because they're not going to be able to participate. Because they don't know, they don't understand, or, you know, they cannot participate. I have informed some of the people that I take the bus with or what have you. I informed them, but this is always after the fact. Oh, this was said, and this was said, and this was said. So just for informational kind of thing, but they were not able to participate. So this is something that should be taken into consideration when you have public meetings. We have a separate public meeting for different populations.
I can say what we do now.
Well, I was going to say, not a lot of people, I didn't know that that was there. And I don't think that a lot of people knew about it.
We advertised the mail out, we let folks know in every publication, between every library in the region. We've done what we know how to do in terms of learning communities, that the options are there. We do not get a lot of requests for the information, we do not get a lot of requests for the interpretive services, and we do not get a lot of participation. That's why we're asking for your help. To talk with your communities, to talk with the writers that you know, to talk with the communities, or including Montreal Club, or an organization, any kinds of people. We're very open to doing this differently, in a more effective way. But today, we haven't gotten a response that are looking for funding, and we see the advantage of what we offer.
Okay, 5 seconds, and then please roll out for after our 5 minutes over time, so we're cutting into the public presentation, public discussion, and everything. So, then Carl.
I think the problem with getting feedback right now is that it's Metro's way for people to come sit in, rather than going out to people. Metro has to be more proactive. It's not about going to a festival and sitting at the booth, it's going to a festival and actively engaging people in conversation. That's why Metro is not getting it right now, is because it's waiting for people to come in rather than.
Yeah, I was actually asked what sort of in the last year, and someone actually called me and asked me a question. And I think we appreciate you're here, that recognition, and we want to work to address that. But I think that's an important thing for us all of ourselves.
And that's how we must be translated to no request for interpreter.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming. I don't mean to, because you know a lot of people that interest in this topic, and hopefully, Brad, we will have additional time throughout the year to work with staff and others to improve this public participation process.
Thank you.
So next on our agenda is public participation at RAC meeting. So I'm actually going to turn this over to Carol. I believe she's been the new one at RAC, or if you can, tomorrow, feel free to jump in when necessary. Carol, please go ahead.
The materials that are relevant to this discussion are on pages 11, 12, and 13 of our Price Advisory Council packet. Just by way of a little background, I believe it was the community that we first raised the issue of public participation and had a general discussion. And we at that time determined that we needed to have a proposal for our permits and as well as basically volunteer for the question. And as a result, they came back to our July meeting with a proposal, or rather several proposals and some sort of questions that they felt were necessary in order to evaluate the four proposals. As a result of discussion at that meeting, it was generally agreed that it would probably be more effective in terms of voting, et cetera, to come up, look at that material, and come up with a single proposal. On July 16th, Kelsey Brackmark, Carl Seid, Candace Walsh, Ron Whiting, and I met along with John Passer. And the way we did it was to, the method we used at that meeting was to kind of address the questions that were in that the information of the July July meeting. And as a result of those questions being addressed, we sort of went down based on what we thought, but based mainly on the discussions of that July public meeting, we drafted a motion and we can send out the comment to approve. Made some changes, and the results are what you see on pages 11 and 12.
in response to a proposed motion. We sent that out on the 24th of July. We had asked, reminded people again on the 27th to get their comments in by July 30th. In addition to the people I named, Chris Farrell and Joseph Kitchen, I'm going to let him talk to that point. Came up with amendments, and we discussed those in terms of, ones I think the motion. So at this point in time, for the purpose of the discussion, I move that the proposed motion on public participation that's on in agenda pages 11 and 12 be adopted. Be approved.
Second.
So for discussion over here now, for discussion, and I'm actually going to take time to make some comments. My comment is that I wanted to thank the working group, the 60 people or so that met during the teleconference, especially Barbara and Greg. There are certain times when things are just extremely pleasurable, and this is one of those occasions I really enjoyed the dialogue that we had, and I just wanted to ask for one record. I appreciate the insight and the thought that went into drafting this proposal. Any other comments?
Cycle back to
you know, cycle back to additional people for Christmas. And I'm glad you and I just communicated by email, so I'm glad to hear the rationale. You're afraid that in effect the chair can abuse their authority, his or her authority, and I, this is probably not politically correct, but I took a long time when you were back. I've seen that. And it's not a pretty sight, and it's not a pretty feeling to have. But I think the RAC, in my opinion, is sufficiently mature. And I think that when we went for a reshaping of our government, one of the reasons that we created a leadership team, rather than having decisions made unilaterally by the chair, was to guard against such abuses, as I think you're concerned about. So I would leave it in as an illustrative to allow the chair to do it and to let people know that that's maybe what happened, so that they're not blindsided by having it occur.
So what you're saying is that she would allow others to be heard, but then those other people can't still be heard.
Oh, yes, yeah, I wasn't trying, yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's where, so as long as that's clear, I feel some reservation about it. I don't know if you have the ability, let me just try it, and so I'll take that first name back. But on the second one, we talked last month about moving a lot of this organization business committee.
Joseph, will you explain your second amendment?
Yeah. The second amendment says the chair has to express his hands moving. Number two, the number two. Basically, refers to the consent agenda that we want to move to. It says that the public, that we will not take public comment on administrative agenda items such as the agenda amendments, chair, and committee reports, scheduling, and number of meetings. I think all of that ties up with committee reports. Because, for instance, this is a committee report. The public wouldn't be able to comment on this. And the public wouldn't be able to comment on if we went and did the town hall committee, if we went and did the town hall committee, and we brought it back here for discussion, the public wouldn't be able to comment on that because that's a committee report. So I think as we move more to wanting to use our committee more, and then having them report back out here at the council, when that discussion comes back to the council, then the public should be allowed to discuss that discussion.
I have a comment about that. I just want to remind everyone that our committees are open to the public, and while this proposal was drafted, I think it was just an oversight on someone's part. We did not think to put an announcement out to let the public know we're discussing the public participation proposal. But I know there's been, I know that it's unfortunate, but also I think part of it was because of the discussion we had at the meeting last month and wanting to actually get this out and give people enough time to digest it and think about it. So the other comment I make is remember that this is for 3 months. In 3 months we will come back and visit this. I'm not sure that the public needs input onto the committee report. It's something that's going to go into the consent agenda item. If the public is also more than welcome to attend the meetings and give us their thoughts and take it and incorporate at that time. So it's just two things to think about.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I just don't think of that.
If no one has a problem with this, I would accept that as a friendly amendment. What I would do is I would strike, and again, the people who worked on this, you know, remember the spirit of our discussion. I would have, like, under two during the remainder of the meeting, I would simply say, they comment on any agenda items, excluding administrative agenda items, and these include the agenda minutes, and scheduling and adjourning the meeting, strike chair and committee reports, because your point is highly well taken, and even in the chair's report, that we don't really see until after the fact, there could be some basis for discussion. And again, I would accept that as a friendly amendment and just strike that, and maybe even say the administrative items may include or include the agenda. Because I was really, since we have not as a body discussed the whole concept of consent agenda, I was really trying to include this without specifying, so I'm going to strike that on the chair before it's going to be. But you need to weigh in.
I think that is a good decision, Carol. I can see Joseph's reasoning for the technicality. As much as anything else, I don't think it was necessary to said, you think that your point is well taken.
We've got 7 minutes left to discuss and vote on this. I'm glad for us to vote on this tonight. Stop reminding me. So Barbara and Dan.
I would like to agree with what they said, that not only does it sound like a good idea to allow public comment, it's not only a great idea to allow public comment on some of the state departments, it's basically what our mission is, our agenda. And what we're supposed to do is public facing, so we have a clear report on strange things, not that it's community for us, on public for us, and make them actually what we're supposed to do.
Deb?
I don't know if it's going to be immediately that we need to put out, we feel we need to follow up on that. But what's there for all of the circles that have a public, I think that is.
I understand, but if you.
Thanks for that.
Okay, now, we have a comment about this topic. We're going to do it with the topic, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it. How can we use it for our.
Oh, okay, I understand.
What we're going to do.
I understand. How I would vision it is that committee reports are important, they're not final until we vote on them. And so we normally, like, we have topics, we have conversations around these town halls, we submitted a time frame for the town hall, we brought it back here. We weren't having a town hall until the council said, okay, we'll have a town hall and we'll be in July. And so the public will comment on what the committee is asking the RAC to do. Okay, I did want to ask one other question. This is not an amendment, but I had a question that I thought about. And at last month's meeting, we had a lady testify here, and then we did what we did, we directed the staff to figure out her question and then report back with a question about it. How do we make sure that we actually get that report back? Because I don't know that we have that.
Right. And I think we actually discussed this at the last meeting or the meeting before, which is that assigning a RAC member to be in charge of sort of shepherding whatever those requests and those questions are, and not necessarily, I hate to use the term, but dumping it just on our one staff person that we have. So I don't know what happened in that particular case.
No, I actually forgot about it because I came here and someone was testifying. But is there a way that we can include those necessary responses? I don't know how we include it, but make sure that they are, I guess, action items are reported out from the meeting, that they come back to the RAC, so that we're not just saying, okay, people go out and do that, and then the meeting is passing. I don't even remember what the lady asked us.
Yeah. So I think that's a good suggestion. I think we will do that, but I don't think that we need to make an amendment. So we'll fix that in a minute. Let me get back to this because I've got a short memory. So can I move that to the end discussion, or Carol, do we need to do that on public participation proposal?
No, our proposal.
Can I just ask you not to do that, because then that requires a two-thirds vote. If nobody else has anything to say, then y'all can just vote on it. Thank you. I just didn't want to get us down a parliamentary wormhole.
Okay. So all in favor of Carol's proposed motion on public participation, please raise your hand.
Don't call the line.
Okay. Any opposed? Please raise your hand.
Okay.
Great.
Solid.
Okay. So we've got about 30 minutes left, 35 minutes left on our agenda tonight. Next up is the youth town hall recap follow up. Joseph, I'm going to give you the floor to take off.
We had the youth town hall on Monday. At our university, in cooperation with the Native Recreation Institute, and we've had about 200 people at the town hall. What we did, we used the open space for the department. Let me thank Kelsey
and Dane, and Carol, and the rest members that came to the town hall, and saw the list and interacted with the people. We really also thank John and Lloyd for all of their help with pulling this together, and it's a lot of time teamwork, and John really did a lot of work, I appreciate that work. So last, on Monday, we had this town hall, we had about 220 people. And we used all this format to run the meeting. Basically, we had the young people come up with issues that were pressing and concerning to them for concerning measures. And then they used those issues, those defined issues, to break into work groups or discuss smaller discussions around those issues. And so instead of having one town hall where we just talk and talk and talk, we probably would have wanted to have three issues, we had one town hall in 2 hours where we talked about 13, 14 issues. And they were able to talk about them in depth and have real conversations with each other and disagree with each other and agree with each other. And one of the amazing things about this is that at the beginning of the conversation, your minute and the director made ask the young people to not only talk about the issues of Metro that they have with Metro, but also the issues that they have with each other on Metro. What role do young people play in these issues? And that's not something that I deal with. That he asked them to do. And I was in this one group concerning bus. And this one young lady said, well, you know, we have all these young people here on the train, and they don't even have a headphone on their phone, they just listen to their radio, and on their phones, loud speakers and things like that. So then we are very cognizant of what they do on Metro. But their issues, that they do have real issues with Metro, and that's where we came up with these issues, and then they came up with a solution. And
you're referring to pages 25 through, I think, 27.
Yes, I am. I am referring to the one that I'm referring to. So we have to do three things. Identify their specific issues, identify possible solutions to their issues, and then identify what they can do to help solve that issue. So this involves them thinking, not just complaining. And that's what they did. That's part of that town hall. I'm going to tell you about the next part. Before we got there, the young people, I meant to bring it and make copies of that. The young people, the Minnesota Youth Leadership Institute gave their young people a survey about Metro. And I thought it was a pretty in-depth survey. And they have agreed to send us the actual surveys. And when they do that, I'm going to ask Sean to help me with this. We'll go through it and we'll analyze it. But I think that this will help us understand more in depth about how young people feel about Metro, bus, rail, different lines, and things like that, and how we can support them. That's the other thing. We're waiting on that. They in their institute this week. And then the third thing is we talked about what should happen next. So what we did was we asked those young people in the room to, if they want to be involved in a planning group, to decide what will happen next to the solutions that they came up with, and also to the wider discussion about youth voice and Metro, because I need to be a part of that. So that we engage them, the people who we're talking about helping, but we engage them in that discussion. So John, do you know how many people signed up?
I'm guessing it was in the 20 to 25 range.
So about 25 young people said they want to be involved in that. Now, we're going to have that discussion, and I'm going to send around, I think, all the rooms today to bring it over. I will send around today and send what I think should be a timeline or a time frame for what happens next and how we see those young people and support those young people. And I'll do that by the end of the week and do that. Because what I want to make sure that we do is that we are supporting what young people in this region want and not us defining what they want, but we are supporting them working for what they want. And I think that's what tells you originally proposed that she came here is that that these young people have been pushing for the advisory council for a while and how we can support what they asked for. And so now it's us helping to empower them to continue to support what they've asked for. Now I will honestly say this. We've reached out to a lot of partners throughout the region Most of the attendees were from DV. We had about 15, 20 people from Montgomery County. I live in Prince George's County. I know people who are in Prince George's County. We have with the organization. None of them came, even though they said they were in. No one came from Virginia. And so what I think our, what we as a RAC need to also work on doing is finding ways, and this is kind of better, to go and meet these other people who were left out of this discussion, where they are, and involved in the discussion. I don't know all the answers that I've given yet. Maybe we'll talk about convening another session of work with one of these issues and kind of more ideas on how to do that. But that's just where we are. I think I've said enough.
No, I think you gave a great recap, and I just want to say I was there and I thought that it was a fantastic session. I was very impressed by the students and how they could sort of govern themselves and monitor themselves. What was said, it was almost like it's a shame, but I kind of felt like I was in a room with adults because many of the same concerns and issues that I had to hear from adults. I really thought it was going to be just more school related, and it wasn't. So it was eye opening for me. And I just look forward to the things that the RAC can do to follow up to help this group advocate for themselves since they are reaching out for the RAC. So I saw Cheryl first, and then Carl and James.
First of all, I want to commend Joseph for doing this. And basically, I think it was a tremendous success. I think that, you know, we should beat ourselves up on not having participation from all the regions and mayors. So if they are coming to work, they are the mayor's, you know, summer youth employment program, so they're kind of a captive audience. But if there are three things that impressed me. One was, in the larger group, when they did the shout out about the key issues, not a single person shouted out anything about what adults, the adult perception of youth is, of course, the reasons and worse. So I thought it was interesting that they did not, at least in the larger group, see themselves in that lot. All of their issues were exactly the same as the issues that you would find in any large group discussion in that group. The second thing that I think was very interesting was that, again, the only, you know, less than stellar part of the organization was really due to the deficit of the venue. In other words, there were like 13 or 14 groups, and there were six of them in a large room. So, you know, 10 was quite loud, but that was not a failure on the part of the youth themselves. And I was very exhilarated and impressed by the caliber of the young people, as evidenced by the solutions they came up with. Some of them came up with some very interesting solutions, ranging from environmental issues to the very issues we were talking about. So I think kudos to Joseph. I was glad to be there and ask you to get the floor. No, because one of the things that the Norm Nixon has said is they had some events on, I guess, a Saturday, which only four people had showed up. So we had a cast of hundreds, and I think, you know, and proved very successful. So again, I commend you.
Thanks, Carl.
One thing stands out on this. Safety and security aren't seen as a concern at all. That didn't come up at all because, I mean, these were self-identified ABCD, right? It just shocks me that we got to K, so we're not 11, and safety and security wasn't raised as an issue at all. I mean, I guess that's a fascinating correlation, but
I think you're right.
It just, I mean, if you, even both from the perspective of security issues with related to people, theft, just, you know, electronic theft, and, I mean, that's always happening. I've had several people with that stuff. But also safety as it relates to the system. You know, we always discuss how one of our concerns is the system is operating safely. I think for emergency, as well as for trying to be safety conscious. So both safety and security, it just really surprises me that was not an issue that was raised. And if we're doing follow-ups with these 20 other folks, the folks who are involved here. That would be one of my questions for them.
So I think you're right. I asked the new mayor, Sam Ryan Marshall, about this afterwards. And he told me that he thought the votes may blow up the state being on the commission, et cetera. A lot of these young people, and he wrote down, they were part of the education, their students, these juniors, their part of the system, the software. These kids, a lot of these kids, come from the places of the city that we don't live in. And so, Metro as a system is to them more safer than the community they live in. And so, while there may be crimes that are committed by Metro, they see them, some of them participate in them, according to him, he felt that the system was more safe than a lot than some of the communities that some of these now kids does not find and he does not. He comes from very nice areas, okay? But he said some of his colleagues, some of his peers. So, and he felt, this is what he felt, that groups like, I'm going to say, groups like the Washington Post blow up the crime situation in Metro in order to, in order to get people to talk about it.
And I'll add that I was also something, that was a note that Carol and I noted after the opening session, is that, wow, no one mentioned security or crime as they're yelling out topics. So I was like, well, let me just walk around some 4 or 5 groups, talk about how I may hear some aspect of that. I did not hear that. The concerns that I heard was my bus didn't come out of time. The bus skipped me. It was just that general operational thing. And I'm here to listen, so I didn't want to say much, but I think it's something we should follow up on, but I think it's an extremely interesting dynamic that it was not brought up or a concern of the group that day. Thanks.
Two good comments. First of all, Joseph, you the committee for an outstanding youth town hall meeting. Very informative. And I found the young people to be very fascinating. And I want to echo what the chair said in terms of, sometimes you were talking to these young people, but you might as well have been talking to adults on some of these issues. I sent an email to the chair and to John about two things that I found very interesting about the meeting. Number one, and this is just something to chew on. Do the bus drivers, as a part of their employment, do they have customer service training? Because many of the young people complain about how rude the bus drivers are, and I agree with them totally. You have some very, very rude, sometimes downright nasty bus drivers, and I have been on the bus with them. So I'm just wondering, I'm just going to stop. Does Vermont have customer service training for these bus drivers? And second of all, and this is what sort of bothers me, is that Vermont is not interacting with the school system and not interacting with the schools. Vermont, I believe, has the Speeders Bureau, and these professionals need to go to the schools, assemblies, to the PTAs, the PTSAs, and actually talk about Metro to the students and the staff about what Metro is and what they've done, and particularly when you have changes in routes. Because a lot of students told me that they were, why is this bus going over here, and why did it not go over here, and there was no announcement made in school about this. And this is where they get a lot of that information. Excellent town hall meeting.
Can I just say that I do remember last year, I didn't find this out about the notes, but I do remember last year at the public safety town hall, the chief, said that he and people from his department communicate daily with the school security and metropolitan police. So they do have, so I think the issue is that we're communicating about young people about in the negative.
Well, let's also remember that this is why Mr. Henry came to speak with us a few months ago, because I believe the cost of us playing is trying to create this position that would do some of the outreach and type of extension to get to this at this community. Right. So, Chris, and then Carol.
Just, what can you tell me about the kids that came from Montgomery County? Is there anything that we can do to help them?
They were very bright. They were very bright. I think that we reached out to Montgomery County, we reached out to the regional association, the government. They use, and both in Montgomery County, they use primarily Ridon. And one of the things that was a broad topic, but it was a common discussion, was how Ridon provides free use. They can use Ridon after certain hours by just showing their ID card in order to get on the bus. And so there was a broad discussion amongst them and amongst the students from DC about the feasibility of creating a reason why youth has or something like that. Now, it would be different because Montgomery County don't pay at all in DC, they pay custody. But that was a lot of the discussion from the Montgomery County students.
So I also want to mention, Carol, I know we have your comment, but I totally forgot about the public participation process that quickly. Do we have any members? Thanks, Carl, for reminding me. Do we have any members of the public that want to comment on this?
Sure.
Please come to the table, name, organization, and your comment, and we'll give you about a minute each so that we can stay on the phone.
Hi, Karachi. I represent myself, although I represent being asked who I represent, in keeping with Joseph's comment. Joseph, were there any staff there?
You mean the mentor staff?
Yeah.
Yes.
John and Loya.
So, no,
no. John and Loya, and the gentleman behind it. And,
and you are?
I'm
an intern. Oh, fantastic. And so, not Jim Henry, not. So not like Jim Hanley or any of the no AGMs, not the general manager. Because in reading through the output from the town hall, a lot of the operational things they want, like 24-hour metro, are never going to happen. And if somebody can either put on Metro 101 for these kids, I'm not saying they have to understand the intricacies of the compact, but at some point they're going to have to meet the realities of operating a transit system, and it would help immensely to sort of fix the disconnect between them and the transit system that exists if we could get some people from operations to, as RAC members get when they are inducted, help these young people understand what is actually involved in the operation of the transit system instead of them beating their heads against the wall demanding things of WMATA that are flat out infeasible. And I'm not sure that that's a reasonable thing to say, but I also think it speaks volumes that, you know, nobody from the AGM level on up, you know, showed up. Not to speak ill of interns, I was an intern once, but that shows their level of commitment.
I'm going to let Carol respond first, and then you will.
I just want to say this as a point of information. There was a discussion, and I think it was a meeting that you were not present at, that we discussed who should be invited with the tone and tenure of the town hall meeting. It might have been as early as May, and there was a decision not to have this sort of meeting anymore. The idea was to have more of a brainstorming session to find out what was on the youth's mind, whether it was feasible or not feasible. I think, if I understand what the next step, this group was the next step is where that's going to come. But I think that there would have been an entirely different meeting had we had people there who would have basically tamped down the idea of them being in the group. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that a conscious decision was made not to invite members there. We did discuss that. So I want you to think the members there wasn't engaged by their choice.
I wanted to be able to say that we did send the invitation to members or whatever, but I did not invite or ask John to invite members of senior management for the purpose of, I get where you're going with this, but first, some of this is just blindly written, that they did not ask for a 24-hour online service and everything like that. In fact, where the 24-hour bus conversation went was 24-hour bus service on some particular major regional routes. And then what was written down was 24-hour bus service. And so their comments were actually very, very informed about the reality of where, of what they operate under. But, so that's the first thing. The second thing is we, what we wanted to do was find out what the issues are. Because right now, when we talk about young people, we talk about crime. So we say young people and another crime. And we talk about young people and then we talk about their reduced fares. And that's all, that's pretty much all we talk about. What we wanted to do was find the issue that concerned them. And then I think what can possibly happen, I don't know, I'm just saying what could possibly happen is we decide, okay, these are their issues. Let's convene a youth camp hall or a youth meeting on bus service in this part of the city. Because that works with this group. And so let's find out what their issues are and then work with Metro management to find out how we can connect them to do what I think you have said, which is a pretty good idea of a realistic I will say one last thing. I did have one conversation that with one kid who was just he was too informed about the contact. He was well overnighted. So he didn't do the homework before he came to the game.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well thank you, Joseph. It sounds like that's well in hand, but
yeah. Great. Any other comments from the public? No. Okay. It is now 8:16. Do we have any comments from Rack Rooms about this? I think we discussed it pretty thoroughly. Okay, great. So next on the agenda is questions or comments on the RAC chair and the AAC chair report. Any questions or comments? We got copies of the text. Hearing none, next we have open mic and community meetings. As always, I will take this time to remind everyone to be certain to advertise these meetings to your network. Again, let the public know that we're here. By talking to those that are in your circle of contact via church or school or wherever. Any other open mic meetings?
Just on the open mic side. I saw in the minutes of last month's meeting, there was a question about the rerouting of service around the 18th Street corridor that was under construction for many months. That construction is now done. And John, I was wondering if you ever got a response on that, because it's not only the L buses, but also the 90 buses have gone way out of the way as that construction has been undergone, but now it's done. So
I will check with bus planning to let you all know. Miss, I believe her name was Stevenson, had some questions about the rerouting of the L buses. I did follow up with bus planning staff about what has gone on with the L buses. I do still need to follow up with Ms. Stevenson about that, so I will be doing that forthwith. I do not know about other routes like the 90s or I think that's the only thing now that operates up and down that stretch of 18th Street that was reconstructed.
And the L buses also.
No, the L buses are not coming back. I mean, the L buses, I think.
But they used to go.
They used to, right. And I think they were rerouted off of that, not just because of the, I will check with bus planning. That was planned as a permanent change, both because of issues with Adams Morgan, but also because of issues on 18th Street south of Adams Morgan by, down south of you in Florida and all that. But I will double check with bus planning on that. With regard to whether the 90s would come back or not, I honestly don't know, so I will ask.
Another thing I just want to mention is I read in the media about this board proposal about timing of rail standards. It's not like a very controversial issue. I'm wondering, are we scheduled to talk about that at any point?
Yes. The rail standards criteria, that will come back in September in the presentation. We actually received a letter from the board chair this week expressing the level of public interest that the board received at that committee meeting, I think, was not out of the board meeting.
It never made it to the board.
Okay, it was a committee meeting. And so the board actually asked staff to place this item on our agenda. And so that will be on our agenda for next September. We put this coming September. And what I have asked John to do is, if possible, obtain whatever those 50 plus comments were for individuals and send that around to the RAC so that we can be well versed in. Not only what concerns we have, what we're hearing in our community, but what people have formally said about this topic.
And finally, one of the comments that we hear, or that I hear at every public meeting I've ever been to, and from many members of the public who have testified here, is the issue of being left behind by the bus. And I find as a bus driver that one of the number one reasons that people are left behind is because the bus is full, or the driver perceives that the bus is full. And what I'm usually hearing from Metro staff is what constitutes a full bus? Does Metro have standards for what constitutes a full bus?
And what happens after a full?
That's another guess.
Usually, send another bus to the line, but you could get a bus.
I think a good example, 16th Street bus, especially during rush hour, they have a lot of the state buses back to back because, for example, the S1 gets packed pretty quickly, and then there's usually another S1 about 2 minutes behind it. So just depending on the route, but for the most part, I think they try to accommodate for those.
Well, I think the other issue is how people actually act on the bus, in terms of people in the crowd right in front. And then there's often space in the back, the drivers don't necessarily see that, so there's actually room on the bus, but they don't let people on.
But there's the lengthy argument on Washington Post.
Apparently.
And you know about the 16th Street, but, you know, I saw it. And, the other thing, I mean, the general manager had mentioned to us, one of the leadership team, that I think we were discussing here, was what legislature trying to do is, see if they can get riders to be more aware of that enter in front next to the back, and, you know, that kind of.
They started an announcement on the buses that says the front entrance is for entering, the back entrance is for exit. Exactly. Exactly. I also have to point out that none of these sort of nanny state announcements ever appear on Metro Rail. They only appear on the bus. But anyway, I would still be interested in hearing from staff about full buses and what constitutes full buses. There's standards there.
Okay, Chris, Joseph, Bob.
Let me reiterate the place for egressing from the bus from the rear door is at Metro Rail Station. It's when you need to pay your respects to the driver on the way out. I mean, that's loading and unloading can be done much more efficiently at Metro Rail stations by prioritization of the parking from the rear door.
At last month's meeting, and I think in our proposal that I've had, we wanted to direct people who could come to the meeting or wouldn't come to the meeting to submit their comments online, and we can do it. Let me say what I thought and how wrong I was. I thought that they could go onto the website and go to the agenda, which was prominently placed on the website, and then under each item, click it and then drop down a comment section. Was I wrong in thinking that?
No,
how
but.
I guess my question is, I'm overthinking. How do people comment on our agendas online? How should they?
Now that you all have approved a public participation plan, next month you will have the ability to go into an agenda item and there will be a drop down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because you all, I never do anything until the gavel comes down. So I will work on that with our IT staff so that next month people will have that opportunity, especially with, as Kelsey noted, the rail service standards coming to the rack. So that they'll have the opportunity to comment on that. And I think staff is aware on that same topic. I think staff was aware of the high public interest in that particular topic. And so we are also, I'm gonna try and work with some of our other communications staff to see if there's other ways to let people know, hey, there's an option. You know, if you have concerns about this particular topic to.
Yeah, that would be great if like a week before or something we can start getting
right, and I mean,
in addition to the community.
And Kelsey, can I ask one last question? I just haven't found any answers from last month, but I know we talked at some point last month about reviewing or asking staff to, if they should review the success or struggles of Rush Bus. Was that you that did your thing?
No.
Did we decide to do that, or are we going to do that? I'll tell you, the people in, even, I know Rush Bus does not directly help people where I live with Jeremy, but they believe in ruining their lives. And
I think if I recall correctly, we're going to give 6 months for implementation or 3 months for it to have been operational, up and running, and then ask staff to come in and perhaps give us the short presentation. For some reason, October, I don't know.
I seem to recall a discussion of at least a couple months. So, you know, we're a month and a half in, which I'm sure for people who feel like it's ruined their lives, seems much longer. But yes, I think we have discussed.
Okay.
So.
So I think there's like these big things that Metro never did well anyway, and now they have the rush busing that people, a lot of people hate, unless they help you and you like it. Then, so now everything that people hate about Metro is tied to rush busing, ruining their lives.
Okay, wow. Yes, I live in the digital station, rush bus, yes, people's lives. I was just going to ask, you know, I know that I mentioned last week, you know, we're going to get a standard process for giving feedback, and I think the topic that you said is going to be presented about looking at variables between trains is a perfect fit for what rush bus is about in that. I mean, if there's a way of giving any element of feedback to people in success or getting tremendous feedback, or whatever, I know that I'm eliciting a lot of information from people that I know, and you know, those that have options still, you know, yellow versus blue, sounded good to people to start, but when they can't afford the train because it's too full.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you think coming up. So I'm curious, I love being there.
Okay, well, I want to ask John if I remind you of the CEO's back and maybe we'll have a presentation in September. There were two other things I wanted to bring up. One, please look for an email from John that will announce potential meeting dates in September with board. So Maryland RAC members will meet with Maryland board members, Virginia, Virginia, DC, and DC. So John, we're thinking September is a good month to have this?
Yeah, I think we're going to try and set stuff up so that members from the RAC and members from the board from their respective jurisdictions can get together. It's August in Washington, D.C., and people are starting to run. But Lord and I are going to start setting stuff up now. So look for at least an initial email from me with some, hey, can you possibly do this within the next, let's say, week? And then we'll take it from there.
Are we going to do a Fed 1-2 for those of us who are
federal employees? Let me raise that to my boss and see if that's a possibility. Because I know that we've done some meetings earlier in the year. And so in terms of prioritizing, I know that the Virginia folks haven't had a chance to meet directly with their board members, and really nor have the feds. So, you know, maybe those go higher on the list.
One other concern that I wanted to bring up is that we have this thing called participation at our monthly meetings that sometimes some of our members don't meet for the same 3 months in a row. And so I think we might have one or two or even three members. John, do you happen to have attendance records with you?
I did not bring them with me. I know that when I had last checked, there are two provisions in the bylaws regarding attendance. It's either if you miss 3 meetings in a row, or if you miss 2/3 of the monthly meetings for a period of 6 months, if you miss 4 out of 6, then you are eligible to the council is eligible to vote to ask the board to remove someone. And we have, and because people, because it's a large group and because sometimes people come in and go out and I don't always see them, I will certainly stand to be corrected on this, but I know that we have two people that fit within that category at present. I don't know if you wanted to go further with that now or?
Okay, so I think why don't we do the pins? You know those two individuals fit the category, or
I am pretty sure I can go back and check, and I can follow up with them to reconfirm. I mean, it's
okay. So why don't we do the
point of information? We should take any action before confirm. You're gonna get in touch with the people themselves.
Right.
Yes.
So why don't we let you confirm that, and if you can maybe send a note, or I can send a note to see what's going on, see if those individuals are still interested, maybe something for chatter to happen. and so we can be a little bit flexible. But I'd like to bring that up because it is a volunteer body, and we need all the assistance that we can get, and I think we all signed up for this, you know, what we're expected of us, is at least the once a month meeting. Okay.
Can I have a Carl question? I think it's a Carl. The public opinion, is it going to happen next month or not?
I think it's happening in September, and reminding you, John, what the heck, I think we were waiting for the youth town hall to pass before we got into something else.
And pass that it has, I think actually right now, it, staff is looking at a point in early to mid-October. I think staff and the board, what I can tell you at this point is staff and the board are working on putting together a plan to get the RAC's feedback on it, which they're hoping to get from you as part of your September meeting. So as not to prejudge that, that's really all I can say at this point. I think right now it would be mid-October, but I think that there may be some, the plan as it is at this point is not set in stone. It's still being developed.
So it's still on?
It's still on. It's very, the board is very much interested. The board is very much interested. So it has not gone away.
Can we provide draft feedback on the proposal prior to the September meeting?
I'm sure, yes. As soon as there's something to provide feedback on,
great.
Please don't wait.
Okay.